To the book of Matthew, be in Matthew chapter 8. I'd like to thank the church here, who I consider a second family. We were members here for 10 years, my wife and I were. Thank the church for the invitation to come be with y'all again. You know, when you go to a certain place, there's the sounds, the smells, the people, the faces, it just floods you all over again. Brother Jerry, you know something about that coming back here. It's good to be here. The accommodations are very comfortable. Thank you for that. Introduction, if you don't know me, I was born, I lived a life of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me, added me to one of His churches, and here I am. That's a short story. So much more than that, it's not necessary. Pray for us over there in Silsbee, Texas. We pray for you. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your mercies and your love. We ask, Lord, that you would show your mercies, Lord, upon us, Lord, here today. Lord, that we as your people, Lord, redeemed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, would better understand, Lord, the things that you have done for us, who you are and what you've done. Lord, please have us to be more mindful, Lord, that we would be servants of the living God, Lord, to the Christ who saved us from our sins. Lord, I ask that if it be your pleasure, Lord, as only you can, that you would reveal yourself unto some sinful soul today, Lord, that you would not give those that are undone any rest until they see you as Lord and Savior, repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you would be near us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sermons and the music that we've already enjoyed, Lord. We just pray that these things would be pleasing in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Please help us, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, if you would join me, please, in verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, this sick of a fever, this isn't what some of us as Baptists know as sick of a fever, like I don't feel like going to church today, cough, cough, sneeze. This is sick of a fever like she's about dead, okay? They're worried that she's going to die. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I'd like to speak just a little while on the touch of Jesus. The touch of Jesus. I've only got 11 points and I've only got 25 minutes. Y'all do the math. So, y'all listen really fast, please, I hope here. Well, 7 points are the touch of Jesus, and we're going to pick up a few things about Peter here, some application. But first thing that we could understand is this house, again, it was a place of sickness. It was a place of death. It was a place of expected death. A place of fever, a place of wanting, a place of lacking. It was a place where there was no hope. But then Jesus came. When Jesus came to this house with a sick woman, what a condescension, but what also a picture this is of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this sin, sick, dying world to heal sinners of their sickness. Thank God. Thank God Jesus came to the house. You know, when you look at the entirety of the book of Matthew, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, saving His people from their sins and healing them of their sickness. It's at the very first in Matthew chapter 1. That is how He is known. Look over there, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us.
Right.
Jesus came to the house. He came to save sick sinners. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to the house? I mean, there are so many that are sick And they have no idea of their sickness. They have no idea of their nearness to death, but Jesus came. Anybody else could have come to the house and it would have made no difference whatsoever. It was Peter's house. People worship Peter. Some people call him, he's the first biker, they say, or he's the original Pope. I don't buy into that, but Peter couldn't do anything. It required the hand of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us, God coming to the house to touch this woman in her sickness. But again, the condescension. You know, people think that, and it's often said that he dwelt in eternity. Well, when you say that he dwelt in eternity, if you say that something is inside a bottle, the bottle's got to be bigger, right? Eternity dwelt in him. He is the one that eternity dwells inside. The cosmos, the infinite cosmos is inside him. But he came to the house. He came to that house. I'm glad Jesus came to my house. I didn't know how sick I was until Jesus came to me. If you're saved, you understand that a little bit. Thank God Jesus comes to the house. Isn't that something? I said, try to invite the president to your house. He invites people to his house and he won't answer their questions. He doesn't entertain them. That's all these presidents. There's just not one or the other. But this is the very one that spoke all things into existence. He condescended. Amen. To come to this sinner, and to come to the house and touch her unto healing. Jesus touched this woman with sickness. The brother just alluded to that earlier. He said it outright. You know, and think about this in the recent past year with COVID. Oh, man. You know, you go into Walmart or someplace and you sneeze and people jump away from you. They don't want to be anywhere near if you're sick. You know, all these rules and things. Couldn't go into a restaurant. If I understand right, Louisiana has been a little bit stricter than Texas. In Texas, you know, we walk around carrying guns, doing whatever we want, you know. But people don't come in. They don't want to be near somebody that's sick. They don't want to catch it. It might be catching unto death. But Jesus, he came and touched this woman with a sickness. You know, we don't have, as it said in Hebrews chapter 4, we don't have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But our great high priest, if you're a sinner saved by grace, he has touched you. And it doesn't rub off on him. He's clean. He's good. He's white. He's holy. He's without sin. Can you imagine touching? I mean, we don't do it again. Think of COVID. Think of the folks that perhaps are on the wayside of your hometowns. You don't go up and touch them. Why? In our minds, they're filthy. But the clean and white Son of God, the Christ, God Himself, lowered Himself to touch this woman. With tender love and compassion, He touched a woman who was in desperation of sickness. It could be that she had slipped off into some kind of daze or a fog or a coma. She might not have even perceived the level of her sickness. And yet here is the Christ and He touches her. Jesus Christ, He touches her and look what happens. Look at the text again. And Jesus, when He was coming to Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Look at that. The immediacy, I don't know if that's a word, can we make up words? The immediacy of the fever leaving her, it was gone. You know, that when the Lord saved me, there wasn't some kind of probation period. Salvation would hold. No, He saved me from my sins. It was gone. The fever had left. The sin. Now, I'm still a sinner. I walk in sin. Hang out with me just for a few seconds and you know that. But you know what I mean here. The sin is gone by the touch of Jesus Christ. But look what happens. You know, sometimes we preach the effectiveness of what Jesus Christ does for sinners and we leave it right there. Look what happens at the touch of Jesus. Yeah, the fever left her and she arose and ministered unto them. The touch of Jesus causes one to arise from the previous state. They will not remain the same person that they were, sin, sick, and afflicted. they will rise and they will be ministers of what? The gospel. They'll be ministers unto God. They'll be servants of the living God. She did not remain. She was never the same. I don't believe she was ever the same. I believe she took every opportunity to declare unto the world what the Lord Himself had done for her. We can say that with a smile. But now, sinner, saved by grace, if the Lord has so touched you, does your life reflect anything like this woman? Have you risen up out of your sinful condition, that is, that place that you used to be, or do you look just like you were when you were on your sickbed? I know lots of people who say, oh yeah, the Lord has touched me, but they still look like they're laying there with fever, nigh on to death. That there's been no change in their lives. There's been no happening to them. There's been no effect unto their lives. No, we talk about how big of a God God is. If He can heal this woman and she get up and do, then yes, when He saves His people from their sins, they get up and do. Arise and be doing. Sin sick. He touched her. She arose and ministered unto them. Now, when she did that, she was called unto service, of course. A lot of folks also would believe that when the Lord saves them, they're risen up and given liberty and ability to go serve however they want. They're given freedom to go serve themselves. You know anybody like that? Oh yeah, the Lord saved me, now I can go serve myself and go do my own thing. I know people like that. Perhaps people like that are in this room. I don't know. I'm like that sometimes. I don't want to be arrogant about this. I'm like that. You know, Lord, You saved me, but I want to go do what I want to do. I want to go do this or that or whatever. Yeah. I'll make time for You later. This is my time. I need to relax. No, she was healed and she got up and served, didn't she?
Right.
She wasn't healed of the fever of this death by the touch of Jesus Christ so she could get up and go chase her hopes and dreams.
Right.
No, she was healed to get up and minister, to arise and minister unto them.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and his disciples who were there. Oh, if we could really catch that application. The brother preached on that last night. If we could really catch the application that God has that He has saved us from our sins, that we would rise and be doing, that we would be servants of the living God. Not arise and stay low, but to arise from a place that is down and get up to a place that is up and be living in a way that is pleasing and ministering unto the things of God. That's, if you're saved, that's it. You know, you preachers, raise your hands. Preachers, raise your hands. They're not the only persons who are called to rise up and minister.
Right.
If you are a child of God, you are called to rise and minister.
Yeah.
Are you not?
Yes, you
are. Yes. If she was, you are. If you're not ministering, I would encourage you to make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
I mean, think about it. I'm in healthcare. When I help somebody, people are pretty happy about it. And they thank me and they go tell other people. Right? I'm a person. I'm a sinner. I'm going to die one day. If Jesus has healed us, we should thank Him in our lives and go tell other people what He is. We should be a walking billboard. You need to go see the clinic of Jesus. He will heal you from your sin.
Amen.
There's no excuse for me not to be. There's no excuse. If He's done anything for me, I should shout to all that He has done such. I ought to be a minister at all times and all seasons for what He has done for me and serving. Now look at this also. When she arose and was doing here, look in verse 16. When the even was come, they brought Him many. And we can stop there just for a second. So what happened between the time Jesus touched this woman, she was healed, and she's ministering, to when even was, I don't know how long that was, a couple hours, half the day, I don't know, it was some time, and then many people were coming. Put yourself there in that house. You know, to somebody swing that door open and say, hey, she was about dead and Jesus healed her. Bring your sick, bring your lame, bring your half dead, bring your mostly dead, bring your possessed by devils. I don't care what they are, bring them. He's here, he's healing. Boy, that'll get some attention, wouldn't it? This world is as sin sick as it's ever been. It's as in need of healing as it's ever been. How can we not scream it? How can we not proclaim it the loudest of our voices? You that need healing, whether you need it or not, come. The physician is near. He's come. Heal. He has come to heal. Come. As many as are sick. As many as were possessed by devils, and he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And I believe he didn't heal every sick person in the world, but he healed all kinds of sick people that came to him.
Yeah.
Are you sick? I got to ask the question. Are you sick?
Yeah.
Are you sick here? Are you putting on a show that you are saved, but deep down you know you're sick? You know you're that sinful man, that transgression of a man or woman. You know that you have committed iniquity against God. You can sin against me and who cares? The living God. You know, he takes sin pretty seriously, so much that when sin was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he judged his own sin. Romans chapter 8, he spared not his own sin, his own son. Sinner, sin is a big deal. That kind of sickness, I can't give you antibiotics for. I can't put you on some kind of physical therapy or nothing like that. No, it requires one healer, and the remedy is his blood.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. The effectual and obvious fame of this healing. Many came. Can you imagine what would happen if in that same scenario somebody would have busted open that door and said, hey, she's healed! And the multitudes came. And there she was with a sick rag on her head and her tongue hanging out of her mouth and pale and sweaty. They'd say, no, she's not healed. She's the same as she ever was. What kind of fame would that be? Would Jesus be an ineffective healer? Yeah, he would have been. But no, he's an effective healer. It was an effectual healing. It was an obvious healing. And it was a famous healing. And the crowd came and they wanted part of it. Thank God. Thank God for that. He came to heal the sick. He really did. Look over the page there in chapter 9. In chapter 9 and verse 12. But when Jesus heard, chapter 9 verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole not, need not a physician. She needed one. I needed one. I needed one desperately.
Amen.
But they that are sick, but go ye and learn what meaneth I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking of the sickness and the sinners. That's the same thing. He's talking about the same thing there. Sin is a sickness. And it requires remedy or else it will bring death like any other sickness. The wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6. The people brought to Jesus here, and they were expecting to receive. These people that were brought to Jesus were expecting to receive for themselves with all magnificence what Peter's mother-in-law had. They wanted to receive what they had. So let me ask you this. Child of God, does your life reflect the touch of Jesus that others would say, man, I want what that guy's got. Man, I want that what that woman has. Man, that's great. I don't believe anything they say, but look at them. They just look at them. They're different than everybody else. Doesn't matter what happens to them, they say, praise the Lord, God help us. Doesn't matter what happens to them, they're steady and trusting in the Lord. Or, do we look like the sin sick bunch that still needs healing?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I feel the latter is the case. But when a sinner is saved by grace, others ought to see such a change in their lives that they know something has happened. You know, if I walk out here on Wax Road and a car hits me and I walk back in, everybody's going to say, what happened to you? You're different. You changed. Something happened. Something big hits you. You came in contact with something big. Well, God is something big. If a sinner comes in contact with something so big as God, there will be an obvious change. The touch of Jesus. Again, the touch of Jesus. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The touch of Jesus fulfills Scripture, which was given by the eternal ordination of God. It's the fulfillment of the eternal will of God. It fulfills Scripture. It was forever ordained in the mind of God that He would come to Peter's house, touch his mother-in-law, and she would be healed, that fame would spread, other sick people would come, and He would heal them. It was forever ordained of God that He would be the Christ. Look back to you in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1. It was forever ordained of God. In verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That was eternally ordained by God.
Amen.
The touch of Jesus. When the Lord touched me, now He didn't physically touch His hand on me, but in a spiritual sense, the Holy Spirit came in and did touch me.
That's right.
I can't explain it, but I know it happened.
Yeah.
And if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It fulfilled the will of God, the purpose of God, that He saved me from my sins. Had nothing to do with me for what I had done. It was in spite of myself. The only thing I did for my salvation was merit the need for it. All I did was sin and live sin. That's all I do is sin. No, it is God that saves and heals from sin.
Amen.
And if there's any goodness in me, it's the Spirit of God working in me to do good. I thank God, though, that it was His eternal purpose that the Scriptures would be fulfilled, that He would heal sick people in their infirmities and their sickness. Again, there's no greater infirmity, there's no greater sickness than sin. That's the one that'll get you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, everything else, you know, that's, you can live through that, but sin is what kills, sin is what brings death. But this is a personal thing. Again, look at those personal pronouns in verse 17. You know, the world at large, they would say, oh yeah, He died for sin. No, He Himself took our infirmities.
Yes.
He took mine. You know, it's different when we say it like that. There is great confidence and hope that I have that Jesus Christ took my infirmities. And I got a lot of them. A lot of them. And He bore my sicknesses.
Yes.
And I want you to, the language is funny. Notice that those words are plural. You know, it's not like I got one bad thing about me. And if it wasn't for that, then I'd be okay. Head to toe, I'm a wretch deserving hell. Head to toe. He took that upon Himself, Calvin.
Amen.
He took it upon Him. I didn't give it to Him. He took it upon Him. Look at the language. He took it upon Himself. He took it. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. With all the power of the Godhead, Christ bore my sins at Calvary. And that, in time, has put an impression on me. It touched me unto salvation. And you know, when that happens, it's not just one day. That's a continual thing. Not, again, I still sin. But the work that God did in me in salvation is one that will last me through eternity. That's an eternal work. I thank God for that. I really do. It's a personal thing. You know, if you think, oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, that believing in God is a lot different than Jesus Christ touching you and taking your infirmities. You read the book of James. The devils believe and tremble. That don't save anybody. No, this is a personal thing. I pray that God has made salvation personal to you. I really do. It was an effectual thing. It was an obvious thing. Thank God it happened. Thank God Christ came to this world. A couple things about Peter. Look at this. You know, some people take exception to this. Peter was married. You know, he wasn't some guy, you know, that was forbidden to marry. So I don't know how certain organizations get away with saying that their preachers can't marry anybody when they claim this guy. But Peter's mother-in-law, look at this. Here's some practical stuff. You know, Peter had already, the Lord had already saved Peter, you see. Peter was already a believer. Peter behaving as a believer, his mother-in-law was staying in his house. Okay? Peter, at least for the time she was sick, he was caring for her in his house. That's what it says in verse 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, right? He wasn't living at mama's house. So you young men, especially, a little bit of practical stuff. Don't be living at mama's house. You equip yourselves and with a mind of the things of God, provide for your families in such a way that you are dependable and reliable. That's honorable unto God.
Amen.
In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, if you don't do that, you're worse than an infidel. So get that straight. There's some practicality here. But another thing about Peter. Peter brought Jesus. Again, when Jesus was come into the house, Peter brought Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, into the house where the sick was. Peter opened up his house. He brought the Lord to his house. Children of God, you know, sometimes we can get on Facebook and copy and paste our favorite verses and put some flowers around it and make it look really nice. But do we bring the gospel? Do we bring the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that can heal the sick, do we bring them to our house, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, to our loved ones? To those that are sick and in need of healing, do we bring such things unto them? It ought to be our heart's desire. You know, again, I'm in healthcare. It's my desire that everybody that comes to me and they've got sickness that I'd help them of their sickness in some way. I can't heal them, but if I could help them in some small way. But child of God, if you have experienced the touch of Jesus Christ from the healing of your sins, would you not desire that same healing for every sin-sick individual?
Right.
Without exception. Even the worst, those that are sicker, I mean, in a hospital setting, they call it triage. Those that are sicker get the first care. Why was it that Jesus said go to the house of Israel first? Because they were given all the ordinances. They were told from the very beginning who God was, and they were the most sin sick. So start there. So that they would be an example of how great of a healer Jesus Christ is. Likewise, we have such a short time in life. We really do. Those that are the sin sickest. Well, who are the sin sickest? Paul said he was the worst, right? He was religiously unsaved. He was righteous in his own eyes. He had established his own righteousness rather than submitting to the righteousness of God. That's why he wrote it in Romans, because he knew all about it. He lived it. The sin sick. Take the sin sick. Oh, open Jesus Christ to the sin sick that they would be healed by the touch of Jesus Christ. Children of God, I thank God. Aren't you, isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God came to be with the sin sick?
Amen.
The sin sick. Do we really see how sick we were? I mean, I think often if we saw how sick we really were, then we'd give our physician a whole lot more credit. Really so. Brother mentioned that he looks in the mirror and sees Barabbas. Yeah, that name, Barabbas, you know, Simon Bar-Jonah, Bar son of, Abba, father. He was the son of his father, Barabbas was. That's what his name meant, son of his father. Just like his daddy, just like his daddy, just like his daddy, all the way back to the beginning, to the fall, worthy of death. Death. Does anybody know when they're going to die? There's somebody in here that's sick, all of us. But there's somebody in here that's got to be, that's really sick. Room this size, there's people in here that are just a spider's web away from hell.
Yep.
And that fire is raging. That fire, if you only knew. You know, if I thought that I could fold this Bible up and take it back there and you'd slap you with it and it would help, but it won't help. You know, all the kind words and all the pleading and all the choruses of just as I am at won't help. Jesus has to come to the house.
Amen.
Jesus has to touch you. Is that your desire? You know. I see a lot of people, they got diseases, and they say, you know what, man, I don't want to do anything you say. Just give me another pill. That'll fix it. Well, there is no other pill. There is no other solution. There is no other thing. The requirement of the work of Jesus Christ for salvation, that is what is needed.
Amen.
That is what is needed. Thank God, by the touch of Jesus Christ, sinners are healed and saved from their sins. I don't believe there'll be any lame or sick or halt or whatever, any diseased. And you can read in that in the book of Revelation how that all that stuff will be a thing of the past. He is the great physician. Now what about the ministering? You know, she got up and she ministered. We can agree on how great of a Savior He is. What about the ministration? What about the people of God rising up and ministering? She experienced the touch of Jesus as she arose and ministered unto them. If you've been healed, you've been healed to rise up and serve. We cannot overstress that. Now, works do not save you, but read the book of James. Without works, the body's dead. Just like the spirit of the breath, the body is dead. Without works, faith is dead. The works of Jesus Christ will be made evident in His children. And He is a wonderful healer. That's why He, with confidence, He says you'll know them by their fruits. Because He knows that when He heals people, there will be effect. There will be healing in their lives. Do we have such a testimony? God help us. Sinner, behold the touch of Jesus. Do you have any idea how bad your sickness really is? There's a 100% mortality rate of sin. Everyone. See your desperation. Did you know that Jesus is not far off? You know, He dwelt among us. In the book of Acts, chapter 18, it says that He's not far off. Why, the gospel has been sounded in this room last night and this morning. In song, in prayer, in preaching.
Right.
Amen. Children of God, can you not confirm that God is in this place?
Oh, amen.
He's not far off, sinner. Did you know that the heel of Jesus still heals today? If God can save me, He can save anybody. And I want you to hear me. God saved me from my sins. He heals today. So there were, no doubt, again, in that day, there were many that were sick that didn't come to Jesus. Why not? Well, there has to be only two reasons. First, they didn't really think they were sick, right? Anybody ever know anybody like that? A lot of us guys are like that. You know, we cough and do all this kind of stuff and neglect our problems for a while. Oh, no, it's fine. I'll be all right. Brother Larry did that a couple years ago. Was having a heart attack for what, brother? 3 or 5 days or something like that? Just ignored it. Didn't think he was sick. It was okay. I don't mean to pick on you, brother. But that's how we are as people.
Yeah.
We don't know how sick we are. Why else wouldn't they come? Maybe they didn't think he could heal them. No, he can heal those people. But my sickness is too far. Sinner, do you think your sin is too deep? Sinner, do you think your sin is that bad that Jesus can't save you from your sins? There is no sinner so sinful that Jesus cannot save them from their sins. To say that would be to say that God is unable to accomplish His purpose. I 100% believe that Jesus can fully save His people from their sins. So the answer to those questions, yes, you are sick. And yes, only He can save. Sin and repent. And by the power of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be healed by the touch of Jesus Christ. Brother, please come.